we present Roman Fever by Edith Wharton, with Pat Franklin as Mrs. Slade and Shirley Medina as Mrs. Ainslie. The scene is Rome, around the turn of the present century. Two ladies of ripe but well-cared-for middle age are sitting at the end of a lofty terrace of the Roman restaurant, looking down on the outspread glories of the city.
Well, I don't see why we shouldn't just stay here. After all, it's still the most beautiful view in the world.
And it always will be, to me.
Ah, the Palatine. The Forum. It's a view we've both been familiar with for a good many years. We were younger than our daughters are now when we first met here. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, I remember. Alida, There's that head waiter wondering. They might want our table.
Well, I'll cure him of wondering. Waiter? My bag's with you, dear. Will you hand it to me?
Yes.
Thank you, dear. Waiter?
Signora?
My friend and I are old lovers of Rome and would like to spend the end of the afternoon looking down on this view. That is, if it doesn't disturb the service.
Gracias, signora. Gracias. But of course, the ladies are most welcome. You may wish to reserve the place for dinner later.
Perhaps.
Signora.
Well, why not, Grace? We might do worse. There's no knowing, I suppose, when the girls will be back. Where were they off to, anyway?
I think those young Italian aviators we met at the embassy invited them to fly to Tarquinia for tea. I suppose they want to wait and fly back by moonlight.
Moonlight. Oh, what a part it still plays. Do you suppose they're as sentimental as we were?
Well, I've come to the conclusion that I don't in the least know what they are. And perhaps we didn't know much more about each other.
No, perhaps we didn't.
I never should have supposed you were sentimental, Alida.
Well, perhaps I wasn't.
I'm glad we've run into each other again. And here, of all places. Strange, isn't it, how little we know of each other, close as we've been off and on since we were children?
Yes, considering the similarity of our lot. Well-to-do widows trying to keep up with our daughters.
Do you miss Delphin?
Well, it was a big drop from being the wife of a famous corporation lawyer to being his widow. What? That handsome woman with the good clothes and eyes is Mrs. Slade. The Slade's wife, really? Being the Slade's widow was dreary business after that. Now I've only Jenny to live up to.
Oh, she's a perfect daughter, Alida.
Perfect. Perfect, pretty, and safe. God knows, I sometimes wish she'd fall in love with the wrong man, so that she'd have to be watched, outmaneuvered, rescued. Instead, it's Jenny who has to watch her mother, keep her out of drafts, make sure she's taken her tonic.
Oh, Grace!
What about Horace? Do you miss Horace?
Oh, yes. I miss him. Sometimes.
5 o'clock already.
With his bridge at the embassy.
Oh, not unless you want to. I don't think I will.
Oh, no, I don't care to at all. It's so lovely here, and so full of old memories.
You know, I was just thinking what different things Rome stands for to each generation of travellers. To our grandmothers, Roman fever. To our mothers, sentimental dangers. How we used to be guarded. To our daughters, no more dangers than the middle of Main Street.
Yes, how we were guarded.
I always used to think that our mothers had a much more difficult job than our grandmothers. When Roman fever stalked the streets, it must have been comparatively easy to gather in the girls at the danger hour. But when you and I were young, with such beauty calling us, and the spice of disobedience thrown in, and no worse risk than catching cold during the cool hours after sunset, the mothers used to be hard put to keep us in, didn't they?
Yes, I suppose they must have been.
Well, it's all very well to say that our girls have done away with sentiment and moonlight grace. But if your Babs isn't out to catch that young aviator, and he's a marquise, you know, then I don't know anything. Poor Jenny has no chance beside her. I know that, too. Grace, I wonder if that's why you like the two girls to go everywhere together. My poor Jenny as a foil.
Oh, really, a leader?
Oh, don't listen to me. I was only thinking how your Babs carries everything before her. That Campolieri boy is one of the very best catches in Rome. Now, don't look so innocent, my dear. You know he is. And I was wondering, ever so respectfully, you understand, how two such exemplary characters as you and Horace had managed to produce anything quite so dynamic.
I think you overrate Barbara, my dear.
No, I don't. I appreciate her. And perhaps I envy you. Oh, my girl's perfect. If I were a chronic invalid, I'd rather be in Jenny's hands. Well, you can see. I've always wanted a brilliant daughter. Never quite understood why I got an angel instead.
Oh, Barbara is an angel, too.
Of course, of course. But she's got rainbow wings. Well, they're wandering by the sea with their young men.
Now, there's nothing to worry about, Alida.
My dear, there's nothing for you to worry about. Babs will come back engaged to the extremely eligible Campolieri. Eventually, you'll settle down near them in Rome. Oh, you'll never be in the way. You're too tactful. You'll have an excellent cook and just the right people in for bridge and cocktails. And a perfectly peaceful old age among your grandchildren. Oh, do I sound unkind? I suppose I'll never cure myself of envying you. Maybe I began too long ago.
Oh, look at the sun over the Colosseum. It's beginning to set. Oh, what a wonderful hour.
Yes, it's setting. You're not afraid, my dear.
Afraid?
Of Roman fever? Or pneumonia? I remember how ill you were that winter. As a girl, you had a very delicate throat, hadn't you?
Oh, we're all right up here. Down below in the forum, it does get deathly cold all of a sudden. But not here.
Ah, of course, you know, because you had to be so careful. Whenever I look at the forum from up here, I remember that story about a great aunt of yours, wasn't she? A dreadfully wicked great aunt.
Oh, yes, great aunt Harriet. The one who was supposed to have sent her young sister out to the forum after sunset to gather a night-blooming flower for her album.
But she really sent her out because they were in love with the same man.
They said Aunt Harriet confessed it years afterwards. At any rate, the poor little sister caught the fever and died. Mother used to frighten us with a story when we were children.
And you frightened me that winter when you and I were here as girls. The winter I was engaged to Delphin.
I did? I really frightened you? Oh, I don't believe you're easily frightened.
Not often. But I was then. I was easily frightened because I was too happy. I wonder if you know what that means.
Yes.
Well, I suppose that was why the story of your wicked aunt made such an impression on me. And I thought, there's no more Roman fever, but the forum is deathly cold after sunset, especially after a hot day. And the Colosseum's even colder and damper.
The Colosseum?
Yes. It wasn't easy to get in after the gates were locked for the night. Far from easy. Still, in those days, it could be managed. It was managed often. Lovers met there who couldn't meet elsewhere. You know that.
Well, I dare say. I don't remember.
You don't remember? You don't remember going to visit some ruins or other one evening just after dark and catching a bad chill? You were supposed to have gone to see the moon rise. People always said that that expedition was what caused your illness.
Did they? Oh, it was all so long ago.
Yes, and you got well again, so it didn't matter. But I suppose it struck your friends, the reason given for your illness, I mean, because everyone knew you were so prudent on account of your throat, and your mother took such care of you. You had been out sightseeing, hadn't you, that night?
Oh, perhaps I had. The most prudent girls aren't always prudent. What made you think of it now?
What made me think of it now? Why? Why? Because I simply can't bear it any longer.
Can't bear what?
Why, my dear, I can't bear your not knowing that I've always known why you went.
Why I went?
Yes. You think I'm bluffing, don't you? Well, you went to meet the man I was engaged to. You went to meet Delphin. And I can repeat every word of the letter that took you there.
Oh, no!
Every word!
No, don't!
Oh? Why not? Listen if you don't believe me. My own darling.
Oh!
My own darling, things no. can't go on like this. I must see you alone.
No.
Come to the Colosseum no. immediately after dark tomorrow. Oh. There will be somebody to let you in.
God.
No one need fear. No one will suspect. But maybe you've forgotten what the letter said.
No. I know it by heart, too.
And the signature? Only your D.S. Was that it? I'm right, am I? That was the letter that took you out that evening after dark.
How did you know? I don't know how you could have known. I burnt the letter at once.
Yes, you would, naturally. You're so prudent. And if you burnt the letter, you're wondering how on earth I know what was in it. That's it, isn't it? Well, my dear, I know what was in the letter because I wrote it.
You wrote it?
Yes, I wrote it.
Oh, no.
I horrify you.
I wasn't thinking of you. I was thinking it was the only letter I ever had from him.
And I wrote it. Yes, I wrote it. But I was the girl he was engaged to. Did you happen to remember that?
I'm not trying to excuse myself. I remembered.
And still you went?
Still I went.
Oh. Grace, I don't know why I ever thought there'd be any satisfaction in doing this to you now, but I wanted to justify myself. You do understand. I found out, and I hated you, hated you. I knew you were in love with Delphin, and I was afraid, afraid of you, of your quiet ways, your sweetness, your... Well, I wanted you out of the way, that's all. Just for a few weeks, just till I was sure of him. So in a blind fury, I wrote that letter. Oh, I don't know why I'm telling you now.
I suppose it's because you've always gone on hating me.
Perhaps. Or because I wanted to get the whole thing off my mind. I'm glad you destroyed the letter. Of course, I never thought for a moment that you'd die. You think me a monster?
I don't know. It was the only letter I had, and you say he didn't write it.
Oh, how you still care for him.
I cared for that memory.
All these years you've been living on that letter. How you must have loved him to treasure the mere memory of its ashes. Well, you tried your best to get him away from me, but you failed. And I kept him. That's all.
Yes, that's all.
Well, I wish now I hadn't told you. I'd no idea you'd feel about it as you do. I thought you'd be amused. It all happened so long ago, as you say. And please remember that I had no reason to think that you'd ever taken it seriously. How could I, when you were married to Horace Ainsley 2 months afterwards? As soon as you could get out of bed, your mother rushed you off to Florence and married you. People were rather surprised. They wondered at it being done so quickly. But I thought I knew. I had an idea you did it to get even, to be able to say that you'd got ahead of Delphin and me. Girls have such silly reasons for doing the most serious things. And your marrying so soon convinced me that you never really cared.
Yes, I suppose it would.
I suppose I did it as a joke.
A joke?
Well, girls are ferocious sometimes, you know. Girls in love, especially. And I remember laughing to myself all that evening at the idea that you were waiting around there in the dark, dodging out of sight, listening for every sound, trying to get in. Of course, I was upset when I heard you were so ill afterwards.
But I didn't wait, Alida.
Oh.
I didn't have to wait. He'd arranged everything.
Arranged?
Of course. He was there. We were let in at once.
Delphin there? They let you in? Liar! You're lying!
But of course he was there. Naturally he came.
Came? How did he know he'd find you there? You're out of your mind.
But I answered the letter. I told him I'd be there, so he came.
Oh, God! You answered. I never thought of you answering.
Well, it's odd you never thought of it if you wrote the letter.
Yes. I suppose it is. I was blind with rage.
Well, it's growing cold here. We'd better go. I'm sorry for you, Alida.
Yes. We'd better go. I don't know why you should be sorry for me.
Well, because I didn't have to wait that night.
Yes, I was beaten there. But I oughtn't to begrudge it to you, I suppose. At the end of all these years, after all, I had everything. I had him for 25 years. And you had nothing but that one letter that he didn't write.
Oh, no. I had more.
More?
I had Barbara.
Barbara? Barbara?
Yes, I had Barbara.
That was Roman Fever by Edith Wharton, with Pat Franklin as Mrs. Slade and Shirley Medina as Mrs. Ainsley. Technical production was by John Whiting. The story was adapted for radio by Eric Bowersfeld and recorded in the studios of KPFA in Berkeley.